Next week in New York, world leaders, business representatives, human rights groups and development organisations gather to discuss progress on the Millennium Development Goals aimed at cutting global poverty, sickness and illiteracy by 2015. Approved by leaders of nearly 200 countries at the UN back at the turn of the millennium, these ambitious goals were designed to lift people in the poorest nations out of poverty through a mixture of debt relief, increased and more effective aid, fairer trade regulations, and a crackdown on corruption in developing countries. In a message marking the opening of the UN General Assembly, Pope Benedict asked God for guidance and strength to help world leaders carry out what he called the urgent tasks facing the United Nations in the coming months, including the continuing implementation of these Millennium Development Goals and other initiatives aimed at ensuring the human family shares in the benefits of globalization. Among those attending the special UN session next Thursday is Justin Kilcullen, director of the Irish Catholic Aid and Development Agency, TROCARA, and member of the Irish Hunger Task Force.
2 years ago, the Irish government published its white paper on development aid and decided that to make a cornerstone of that, Ireland's response to world hunger. Given that Ireland had experienced famine in the 19th century, that we'd had quite a long history of the implications of that right down into the middle of the last century, and that we felt we could make a special contribution on the issue of hunger. So the task force has met over the last 18 months, and the report will be launched at the UN in the UN headquarters next Thursday. And it's a very radical document. One of the things that is most striking about it is the political dimensions of hunger that are included in this. And we would say that in Ireland in the 1840s, when there was the so-called famine, that in fact it wasn't a famine at all. It was called the Great Hunger, because there was plenty of food in the country. Why people didn't have it was for political reasons and economic reasons. And in many ways, the same situation prevails in the world today. We know that there is enough food in the world for everybody, but yet every day 850 million people go to bed hungry. And that's because there simply isn't the political will to deal with the problem of world hunger. And what this report is trying to do, besides talking about the need to refocus on agriculture, to put a special emphasis on nutrition, but also says that political leadership must be taken and that people need to be held to account, political authorities, if populations are left without the basic necessities, particularly food for survival.
This is a particularly poignant message, and it's going to be uncomfortable listening, isn't it, for the world leaders gathered there at the United Nations?
Yes, it will be uncomfortable. And indeed, as the task force began its work, there was a commitment made by the members and led by the chair that the report would cause discomfort, because there have been many reports on world hunger that have been of a technical nature, and they have made some contribution to the problem, but ultimately they have never really succeeded in changing the trend. And that is why this is going to be a hard-hitting report, and we hope it will be received in the spirit in which it is intended, and that it will shake political authorities to take really radical action to deal with this most critical problem.
Now, in practical terms, what exactly are you hoping for from this meeting? What is the best-case scenario as to what could come out of this session at the UN?
I think one of the impressive things about the Millennium Development Goals is that they sprung from the Millennium Declaration, which was signed in the year 2000, by over 200 heads of government. Now, this was the first time that poverty had been elevated to that political level. And, you know, quite fittingly to launch the new millennium, that the political leadership of the world was saying, we will tackle this problem of poverty. What we're doing now is assessing progress as we're halfway through the Millennium Development Goals, the most basic one of which is to halve the levels of world poverty by the year 2015. And it's a stock-taking process. And we know that the report is going to be poor. For instance, 40% of people in southern Africa are still living on less than a dollar a day. And for many of the countries, the least developed countries, we will not reach the development goals until somewhere into the next century. So what we're hoping for with heads of government gathering again is that there will be a renewed political commitment to the goals. Because it's one thing for the development professionals to report progress on programs and projects and give us statistics and so on. But it needs the political impetus that is required to really change fundamental things around the level of aid that has been given, how aid is structured, the whole problem of world trade and its relationship to agricultural production, the question of the education of young girls, the role of women, and so on. And it's not too late for significant progress to be made in the achievement of the MDGs if the political will is behind them. So the best case scenario is that the world leaders gathering in New York this week really commit themselves in a firm political resolve that they are going to put the resources into this that is required and look at the structures that are required to deliver the aid and deliver fair trade and debt relief to the poorest countries. Whether that will happen, we will see. I suppose we have seen so many efforts in the past where we have fine words and afterwards the delivery is very poor. That's why many of us from the civil society organisations, the church organisations from the northern and southern hemisphere will be there. We will be lobbying in the wings. We will be attending many events to try and increase the pressure, the moral pressure and the political pressure in terms of whom we represent, to deliver a message to those political leaders that they are being watched, that we expect that their decisions will be realistic and that they will be brave, and that we can hope to see at least the attainment of those, these basic goals in most countries by 2015.
To underline the urgency of achieving these Millennium Development Goals, the Archbishop of Westminster, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, joined the Anglican Bishop of London and other faith leaders calling this week for a day of prayer and fasting ahead of the UN summit meeting. The Cardinal told me he was urging people to pray and fast on Friday as a way of highlighting the important moral dimension of this issue.
The reason why I've called for this day of prayer and fasting is because the importance I attach to the meeting in New York, the United Nations. This is crucially important. When we think of one in seven children in the world's poorest countries will die before their fifth birthday, and one child every 15 seconds dies due to water, sanitation-related diseases. And the world leaders are meeting to discuss the Millennium Development Goals next week. And notwithstanding the credit crunch and all the difficulties that there has been over the last few days, they mustn't renege on this.
There is an important ecumenical and interfaith dimension to this day of prayer and fasting as well, isn't there?
Yes, there is. I mean, this has been done in connection with, other church leaders and indeed leaders of other faiths. It's something that people of all religions will want in terms of help from the richest countries to those the poorest. Now, when one reads the statistics of the condition, particularly of children, but of others as well, in the poorest countries, this is an absolute priority. And I think the Catholic Church in particular has been a consistent leader and supporter of debt relief, immunisation projects, and I myself, together with the Prime Minister here, Gordon Brown, have been very involved, together with the Holy See, in highlighting this issue.
Of all the G8 leaders, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown does seem to be very committed to making progress on these Millennium Development Goals. What else would you like to see the government there doing to try and keep this at the top of the political agenda?
I think the main agenda on this is the Millennium Goals, and you're quite right to say that Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister of Britain, is foremost in putting this forward. And I think that his voice will be listened to. In terms of the world leaders, I think particularly in the economic sphere, he has great experience. And I think that the fact that he's going, the fact that he'll have something to say of great importance, I think we must back him.
And yet you mentioned the recent credit crunch. We've seen the global food crisis over recent months. I mean, do you think these Millennium Development Goals are still realistic and can they still be achieved in the time we have left?
I remember talking to the Prime Minister about this and I asked him, why do you need particularly our help? Isn't it an economic thing? And he said, and I agreed, that it's really a moral issue. If people are converted to the idea that we can do this and it can be done. It's really a question of, I suppose, the hearts and minds of those who can affect these Millennium Goals that need to be touched. So notwithstanding the global credit crunch, which, yes, poses a major challenge to all the developed economies, but we can't forget our fellow men and women, our commitment to the world's poor. And these promises, which were made by the governments, they must be honoured.
My thanks there to Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, Archbishop of Westminster. And earlier you heard Justin Kilcullen, Director of the Irish Catholic Aid and Development Agency, Trocara, and member of the Irish Hunger Task Force.